3. Hopefully you got that part done. One of my favorite stories as I was working on this lesson, I always remember it. It's a story that was told by Zig Ziglar years and years ago, and it's just a story that's always stayed in my mind. And in regards to what we're talking about this morning, it's super. There's a little boy, and he has a baseball bat, and he's got his baseball in his hand, and he goes out to the field, and he says to himself, "I am the greatest batter in the world. I'm the greatest hitter in the world." And he walks out into the field, and he kind of takes his hat a little sideways, and he gets the baseball. He throws it up in the air. He takes this huge swing, and he misses. Strike one. He says, "But I'm still the greatest batter in the world." And so he gets the ball, and he throws it up again, and he takes this big swing, and he misses again. Strike two. He goes, "Oh, it's tough, but I'm still the greatest batter in the world." And he throws the ball up, takes another swing, and misses again. And he's like, "Whoa, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." You know? And to me, that's like, wow, what a great attitude. Regardless of the things that happen that are negative or the things that are bad, or maybe 2015 wasn't the greatest of years, but if we have a forward-looking mind, if we think about the things with a good attitude, especially what 2016 can bring for us, then we can put a smile on our face and think through things, kind of like the Apostle Paul. He seemed to not let circumstances control him. He always had this determination. He always had this forward mindset that he was looking forward to the things that were more important. And so the scripture this morning, Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, says this: "I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do," and I love how he says this, "one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So he says, you know, this one thing that I do, I'm going to forget about the stuff that happened in the past. I'm going to press on toward the goal. Now Paul has a reason to say that. He's had a pretty tough past. Even though he did a lot of things in the name of God, those were things that he was not very proud of either. Especially persecuting the church and trying to drag those off because they believed in Jesus Christ. And yet there was lots of other things, I'm sure, in his life. I'm sure there's lots of things in our lives that we could kind of go, "Oh yeah, I'd like to keep that, you know, behind me." And so he says to press forward. So I have two things that I would like to make, 2 points that I'd like to make this morning in 2016 to hopefully help 2016 be a success. And the number one is recognize the value of time. Okay? Recognize the value of time. I know why you changed your communion thoughts this morning, because the Holy Spirit prompted you to talk about time. Because that's what I'm talking about this morning. There's a time for everything, but we need to recognize its value. I think it's interesting. How do you recognize the value of 1 year? You know, put it in perspective. How do you value 1 year? Well, ask a student who failed fifth grade or failed eighth grade and got sent back how they value a year, to put it in perspective. How do we value like 1 month? Ask a mother who gave birth prematurely 1 month. See how much she values that particular month. If you look at it in that way, how do we value 1 week? Ask an editor of a weekly newspaper, or somebody has to constantly do a weekly report or do a weekly financial statement or whatever it takes. Maybe a student who has to do a research paper in a week. How do we value 1 hour? Ask a soldier wounded in the field waiting for somebody to come rescue him how he would value that hour. Or maybe the guy stranded in a tree that's just escaped the floodwaters, how long an hour is to that guy. Okay, it kind of changes our perspective a little bit as to how do we value time. How about how do we value 1 minute? Ask someone who just missed an airplane, or somebody that just missed a train or a plane, or just missed that appointment that was crucial by just a little bit of time. How do we value 1 second? You say, "Well, Mike, a second doesn't matter." Well, really? Ask a bull rider how he values 1 second. Ask an Olympic athlete how he values 1 second, especially a runner. That 1 second's huge in the life of a runner. Of course, we realize God isn't affected the same way as we are with time. The Bible says that God looks at 1,000 years as a day and a day as 1,000 years. I'm pretty sure he doesn't wear a wristwatch or maybe have a Big Ben, you know, over on the side by the pearly gates. He's not as concerned with time, or maybe he doesn't approach time the same way that we do. But we measure life in segments of time, do we not? We oftentimes say, hey, it's fixing to be 2016. And people make astounding resolutions, and they make changes in their life based on the fact that they're fixing to start over. How many times, Earl, how many times, I'm trying to think of anybody else, Hunter is back there too. How many times do we get done with a game and all of a sudden we go, okay, well, I got a new game. Woo, fresh start. And so we might shoot like the worst game ever. And then I've seen one of my best friends shot a 158 and a 162. I remember the scores because he says, woo, I'm averaging 160 after two games. And I said, well, here, throw my ball. I'm striking all the time, so you might as well strike too. And he goes, okay, I'll change. Shoots 300, you know. It's because we get to start over, and we see that in our mind's eye at times as a point in time in which we can say, all right, I'm going to forget what just happened, and I'm move forward to what's going on in front of me. So it's important that we realize time is important to us in different ways. Sometimes, not always, something's valuable because of its scarcity, right? If there's not very many of them, then all of a sudden they become quite valuable. Hunter's favorite, my Hunter, sorry, we got two Hunters in the back. Hunter loves the fact that there is a rare number one edition of Superman, 1938, cost a dime back in 1938. But there's not very many of them, right, Hunter? How many? Not any pristine ones. But because of its rarity, in other words, if you'd have lived in 1938 and had the foresight to say, you know, one of these days, this Spider-Man or this Superman or this Batman, whichever year you decide you want to change, is going to be valuable someday. I'm going to save it and preserve it and keep it safe. But it's worth $500,000 now. You could buy it for a dime in 1938. But it's scarce. Now, I like Rick. He's the guy that does Pawn Stars. He says sometimes, you know, somebody brings something in and he'll say, look at this. And it's like a piece of junk. And he'll say, there's not very many of these. And he's like, yeah, there's a reason. They didn't make very many of them because they're pieces of junk. So just because there's not very many of them doesn't always mean that they're valuable. But most of the time, rareness equals value. And so I would love for us, Mr. Joe especially, because we were just talking about this. And I'll remind you what we were talking about. But it's important that the older we get, the more we value our time, do we not? As we start thinking through that, young people say, oh, there's plenty of time. I've got loads of time to get that done. But you need to do this and you need to, oh, I've got time. How many times as a student did we know that we had a test Monday morning, and or we knew that we had a paper due Tuesday morning, and so when did we study for it? Come on, the night before. Jordan never did, right? Never? Okay. We have a tendency to go, I got plenty of time. I've got time. It'll work. But those of us who are older look to teenagers, and sometimes we look at those of you in your 30s, and we say, you know, don't waste your time. It's way more valuable than that. And you say to us, I've got plenty of time. I got all the time in the world. It's not as important. The wider the age gap, the wider the generation gap. And I'll tell you why. Because we look at it and we say, I've got less time than you do because I'm getting closer to my death. And so the older a person gets, the more they realize the younger folks need to hear their story. Boy, I wasted this amount of time, or I wasted this, or boy, if you could do it different. And so we try and tell the younger folks how to spend their time better. And the younger folks look at us like we're nuts because they've got 60 more years to live, 70 more years. Because the average statistics tell us that the average lifespan is 78 years. Okay, that's the average lifespan of somebody in the United States of America, we should say. If you're under the age of 30, then you think, man, I've got tons of time. If you're around my age, you're thinking, Well, I've still got some time, but it's going so quickly. If you're Joe's age, you're just living on borrowed time, right? I told Joe that I'd pick on him last week, right, Joe? I love Joe. And he's got a lot of wisdom. And so sometimes when Joe or you have Linda at times or Hal, they'll come and they'll say, hey, we want to share some stuff with you guys. And the younger folks say, whatever, you know, because they're not thinking, well, I'm this close to meeting my Lord. You know, so time becomes a little bit more valuable. It becomes more crucial. You have somebody that is about to pass away and their life changes. If they know that they're fixing to die and they know the doctor says, hey, I'm going to give you 3 months to live, does their life not totally change because they realize the value of their last minutes, their last hours? That time becomes important. So I would love for us to think about some things. If we live to be 78 years old, all right, now here's how I'm going to break this down. Most of us, if we use the 24 hours a day, in other words, if I go to school for 8 hours and I put that into a 24-hour time period, that would be a one day. Does that make sense? 3 days of going to school, 8 hours, 8 hours, 8 hours would be one full day. And so it works out like this. We'll have most of us, if we went to grade school, high school, and college, we'll have spent 3 years of our 78 years in a classroom. Okay, so of the 78 years that you're alive, 3 total years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, would have been education. Most of, again, on average, we'll have spent 7.5 years eating. Eating. Some of us more, right? Some of us less. I was pointing. I would never point at a woman and say something about food. Never. Never, 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 never. All right? So some of us eat more than others, but 7.5 years eating. Most of us on average will have spent 15 years of our 78 years day and night working. So you start breaking it down like that. 5 years riding in automobiles or airplanes. We'll have spent 5 years in conversations. Again, some more and some less. We'll have spent 1 year sick or recovering from sickness. And get this, we'll have spent 24.5 years of our life sleeping. Sleeping. All right? 3 years reading books, magazines, newspapers, and then 13 years amusing ourselves. That would include watching TV, going to the movies, fishing, doing the things that we love the most. So all of that, about 78 years, if you break it down, this is how I've spent my life. So obviously we spend about a third of our life sleeping, you know, and then 7.5 years eating, those kinds of things. But I looked at those and I thought, what about worship? How much time do we spend here? Right? And I'm not talking about anything you do outside of your home. I'm talking about just the time that you spend here. And so you say, okay, well, from the time I was born to the time I'm living at the end of my life or at the end of my life, dying, 78 years, if I spent 52 Sundays, 1 hour, 78 years, divide by 24 hours, guess what the answer is? Huh? 156. 156 hours, 52 hours a year times 78 years. You just did it, and you didn't do it enough. Okay, do it like this. 52 Sundays times 78 years, so 52 times 78, can you handle that? Divided by 24. Yeah, about 5.5 months. It's kind of sobering to think, what? You say, well, wait a minute, Mike, I'm a pretty religious person. Not only do I come on Sunday mornings, but I come on Sunday mornings for Bible class. Okay, 11 months. Well, I'm really religious. I came on Wednesday nights too. Okay, so 16.5 months. Out of a life of 78 years, dividing that all up, okay, 11 months or 16.5 months. Do we spend actually in worship as a body? And you kind of go, whoa, what? Really? You know, that's almost astounding when you consider the fact that you've got 3 years reading books, which you say, well, I read my Bible, or 5 years talking, 5 years in an automobile or an airplane, and yet we only spend, you know, a year and 4 months if we really come to everything. And so that it kind of changes the way you view that time. because I think these statistics not only tell us about time, but they tell us about priorities. You say, well, wait, Mike, don't tell me I'm not prioritizing. I'm not trying to say anything other than if you look at these nuggets of time or these sections of time, we really don't spend as much time as we think with one another learning about God and studying His Word and praising Him. We pray a lot and we read a lot, but those things are also based on you personally. So I think we need more Bible study. I think we need more prayer time. We need more meditation time. And you may very well do that already. But I want to encourage you, as you think about these things, to think about 2016. Because this is a time where we go, you know, I'm going to do something different this year. I'm going to do something better this year. I'm going to improve on something this year. Well, maybe recognizing this value of time. Paul said, forget what's behind. I press on to the goal. I don't know what your goals are. In class this morning, I made the kids all sit down and write some goals. And I said, you know, goals are important to see with your eyeballs. You can have a goal and you can state a goal and you can talk about goals. But until you write them down and you start seeing them every day, you can't even remember when you're going to meet those goals unless they're written down. And I told them, I said, when I was growing up, I was taught that by a really special kind of guy by the name of Willard Tate. He was one of my favorite people in the world, but he said you got to write stuff down. So for 2016, maybe you can do that same thing. Say something along the lines of, God, I commit to you. I thank you for your forgiveness for the sins of my past. I look forward to being able to do a better job in 2016, but here's what I want to accomplish this year. So recognize the value of time, and number two is establish priority in our life. Okay, so for 2000, establish priority. What's most important? What's the big ball? You know, what are we going to put in first? You know, the whole point of this idea, I'm glad I did undo that. I've never used rice before. I've always used sand, but obviously it would have been mud. It wouldn't have worked out as good. But it's starting to grow in there. But you know, the whole point is put that big ball in first. Otherwise, you're not getting it in. That's pure and end of story. So a lot of times for 2016, we could say, all right, you know, dump that all out. And say, all right, I'm starting fresh this year. What are the things that are most important? Well, I can promise you this. I've learned this in all the things that I've done, packing and moving and organizing, and especially in priorities. You got to put the big stuff in first, all right? And then all that other stuff can fit in later. I think Jesus said it this way, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all that other stuff will work out as well. God will give you all that other stuff, but seek first His kingdom, and that's what you need to get in there first. He said, the top priority in my life is to press on toward the goal for the prize for which God has called me. He kind of says, this one thing I do, right? This one thing I do. And it's not the one. He does a lot of stuff. He preaches and teaches and he's converting folks and he's making tents occasionally. He's having conversations. He's eating meals. He's going to the synagogues. He's doing lots of things. But I think what he's saying is my priority, this one thing that's most important to me, the priority that I have in my life is to press on toward the goal for the prize for which God has called me. I think that's really important for us. So recognize the value of time. And as you recognize that value, go ahead and make the things that are most important to you a priority. Get the big things in first. We've just finished this Christmas season. I love Christmas season. I love spending time with family. I love the presents. I left these up. Karen goes, you left those up there. I went, I know. I'm going to actually, you know, call back last week's lesson. But God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. He gave us the greatest present was His presence, to be among us, to hang out with us, to spend time with us. And last week I said, hey, make sure you do that with your family, do that with your friends. The very presence of one another is huge and important as we do life together, you know, in this place. Our presence is important. And I think that that's really important for us to pay attention to what God is trying to give us each and every day with each other, that we're His body. There was an old widow, and she ran out of money. And she was struggling to pay her bills. Her electricity got cut off, her gas got cut off, and her landlord said, hey, I got to have some rent money. If you don't give me some rent money, I'm going to have to evict you. And it worried her. And it was right at Christmas time, and she's like, man, you know, I don't know what to do. And she was really struggling. She had a candle and she would light the candle and she would keep her hands warm over this candle. And she hears this, you know, knock at the door. And she's like, you know, blows the candle out and sits in the darkness, you know, again the door knocks, and again, and she's like just sitting there and so afraid that it's got to be her landlord, and he's going to kick her out. And so nothing happens. She relights the candle. She's kind of keeping warm. About an hour later, knock on the door. She blows it out and sits there. It happens the next day and the following day, and then there's silence for about a week. And she finally, you know, makes it out of the house, and she gets a little bit of a check, and so she's going to go get some groceries, and she's just so nervous and scared. And she sees one of her best friends, and her best friend, "Where have you been? I've come by your house. I've knocked on your door." And she's like, "Oh," she goes, "I have all this money for you that we collected as friends to give to you so that you can pay your bills." And so she's like, "Oh," and here she sat in the darkness. And in my mind, I always think when I hear those kinds of stories, how many people in life have this knock on their door? You know, Christ is trying to enter their life. Christ is trying to make things better. His presence he wants among them. And maybe it's friendship. Maybe it's through, you know, the friends that we create, and we start sharing with them about Jesus, or we share with them about our blessings, and they just want to sit in the darkness, and they don't even realize that something good is right there. The gift of salvation, the gift of friendship, the gift of love, it's right there, and they just don't ever see it. Jesus not only came as a baby in a manger, he came as the Redeemer of the world. And so this morning's invitation is, hey, look forward to 2016. Make some incredible goals for yourself and your family. You know, take advantage of the fact that we start over. We even get an extra day this year. It's leap year, you know, in 2016. So pick that day and say, hey, I'm going to dedicate that, you know, to making myself a stronger Christian by bearing fruit in every good work, by growing in the knowledge of God. Those two things are right there in front of us. But I think that's pretty impressive to do those things. And people say, well, I don't know when I want to start that. Well, the best day is today. And anybody that's been around me long enough knows one of my favorite thoughts comes from a plant nursery. It's a sign that I saw, and I think it's somebody else's used it. I can't say it's not mine, but I remember seeing the sign and thinking to myself, oh, that's pretty cool. But the sign says, right, the best day to plant a tree was 20 years ago. Do you remember this? I know I said it a bunch of times, but maybe it'll click this time, right? You ready? The best time, hey, timing's got to be right. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, but the next best time is today. Isn't that cool? How many times have people say, I'll get to that. I'll get to that. Oh, I'm going to do that. And I should have brought my round two-its and gave you all some round two-its because I have them in my office. And Zig Ziglar has these little round discs, and they say to it. And then you say, well, next time you say I'm going to get around to it, you can just hand it to him because now you have a round to it, right? And so I had those. I didn't even think about it. But I think it's important this morning as we think about what we want to accomplish for 2016. As a church body, you know, as you and your own family, as you get married, you know, we have several, if Sterling and Ashley were sitting there, I'd point to them too. We got some getting married, got some that just got married, some that have been married for a while. You give them advice every once in a while? Huh? Oh! His advice would be, stay like me, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm sorry, Matt. I saw him get up a minute ago. Matt's going, what? I don't have any advice about being married other than, yeah! So I had that advice for 31 years. Yeah! Just be yourself. Sorry. My bad. This is an important year. It is. You know why? Because it's the next one. And we've got to look at our time and create priority with it. And as I get older, it becomes more valuable, right? It becomes more valuable. And so maybe that'll help us when some of our older folks give you that advice. You need to pay attention because they're trying to give you the advice that's most important to them at the time. I don't know what your needs might be this morning, but if today's the day that you want to start a life and a relationship with Jesus Christ, today is a good day. Today is a good day. It would have been good 20 years ago, but today's the next best day. And so if there's anybody here that needs anything, then we're going to sing a song.